Psalm 37:28. The Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever. Psalm 37:28. The Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever. Psalm 37:28. 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that you may proclaim his praises, who called you out of darkness to his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that you may proclaim his praises, who called you out of darkness to his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9. Psalm 73:25. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. Psalm 73:25. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. Psalm 73:25. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study today. We are so wonderfully blessed. We're saved by God's grace. We've been given another opportunity to focus our minds upon the eternal Word of God. What a magnificent privilege this is for us. We take advantage of that opportunity in these moments of study. We realize that we have to be properly related to the Lord. That's the reason why we refer so often to 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's fantastic to know that our hearts are in tune with the Lord. We have before us today some magnificent scriptures, not only Ephesians 1:21, but we'll be looking at other verses of scripture today. And I would encourage you to open your Bibles and look with me at these magnificent verses. May we pray together, please. Father, we're here today again because of your grace and because of your blessings. Because you've allowed us to have another day. Life itself is a gift from you, and we thank you for it. We realize today we have a wonderful opportunity to receive the communication of God's magnificent word, and that's the reason for our being here. We're here because we want to advance and grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior. We're here today because we realize that life is tough with many, many challenges, and yet what a wonderful opportunity which we have to receive your way of victory and triumph in life. We're thankful that you've given us the opportunity to have a mind to understand and a heart to appreciate the magnificent truths of your word. We pray that we will receive your word with great enthusiasm today. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. One of the great things about teaching is that you find so many magnificent truths in God's Word. We have on the screen now for you our scripture for today, which is Ephesians 1:21. I feel like that it is important for me to spend just a few moments to let you see that there are other verses that we've studied in the past. Look at, if you will, please, at Ephesians 1:19. That says, and what is the surpassing magnitude of his omnipotence upon us, the believing ones, according to the norm of the operational power. I trust that most of you will remember all of the magnificent words that we looked at when we looked at Ephesians 1:19. Then when we looked at Ephesians 1:20, here's what we see. which power the Holy Spirit had been operational in Christ, having raised him out from the dead and having seated him at the right hand of him in the heavenlies. What we're seeing today is Ephesians 1:21, which says, the Lord Jesus Christ, above all, over all super demons, over all commissioned demons, over all gifted demons, over all ruling demons, over all the rank and file demons, that is named not only in the church age, but in the dispensation about to come. I'm sure that you're able to see that we are presenting the emphasis here upon the Lord Jesus Christ being the superior one. We're beginning a study today dealing with the subject of the angelic conflict. I'm sure that you're aware of the fact that when I say angelic conflict, that I'm referring to the first word, which is angelic, which has to do with angels. Now, I could call this the battle of the ages. I could call this the revolt of the ages. The biblical concept of a terrific conflict. We're going to be beginning today a study that will carry us into a study related to demonism, all the various facets related to the various demons and the opportunities that we see that the demons are active. You'll notice here that in verse 21 it says, above all super demons, and then it says gifted demons, it says commissioned demons, ruling demons, and then rank and file demons. I'm sure that you're able to see that what we're presenting here by looking at this verse, at these particular words, that there's a classification here of various types of demons. What I'm going to do today is to begin by telling you that we're involved in a conflict. This is what I would classify as an invisible conflict. It's a conflict related to your life and mine on a day-by-day basis. Number one, many problems which appear to have no answer are related to this conflict, which we call the angelic conflict. Many things which cannot be explained in terms of human activity are related to this angelic conflict. The question that I have at the very beginning is, why is man or mankind here on this earth? I would like for you to spend a few moments thinking with me about the fact that God allowed you to be alive at this particular point of time in history. So we're asking the question, why is mankind here on this earth? Why are you here? Why am I here on this earth? Why were we born and confined to this earth? I'm sure that you're aware of the fact that when you were born, you were born and you were confined to this earth for a period of time. It may be 50 years, 60 years, 70, 80, 90, I hope 110, but I want you to see that we're confined to this earth. And the question that I have here is, why were we created in the first place? Now, as I was typing this, I wondered what you would be thinking while I would be giving you these sentences. And so I wrote a little note to share with you. Preacher, are you crazy? I'm letting you think with me about what I was thinking at the time of preparing these statements. Why are we here? Why am I here? Why are you here? Why were we created in the first place? We have been brought to this earth. God has a purpose and a plan for our being here. We're confined to this earth for a certain period of time. Why were we created? Preacher, are you crazy? Asking questions in this manner? If you've ever studied or have given attention to the Westminster Catechism in the Presbyterian Church, You've heard the answer. Now, I want to share with you the fact that when I say catechism, to some of you, it's a frightening word. So I do not want to disturb you today. I want you to understand that when I emphasize the word catechism, that there is an emphasis that I want to share with you in relationship to that. I need to tell you that my brother, who passed away recently, was a member of the Bethel Presbyterian Church in East Columbia, Texas. For many years, he served as either an elder or a deacon in that Presbyterian church. And what I discovered was that when I thought about what happened to him over these years, I realized that in their church, they had what is known as the Westminster Catechism. And I looked it up and I discovered that I needed to type these words out for you. The Westminster Shorter Catechism is a catechism written in 1646. That's almost 400 years ago, by the Westminster Assembly, a synod of English and Scottish theologians and laymen intended to bring the Church of England into greater conformity with the Church of Scotland. Now, I want you to look at this for a few moments and let you see that when I saw this, I thought that I would begin to see if I could find the Westminster Catechism. And when I got into it, I found that there was a shorter presentation of catechism, and I found that there was a longer presentation of the catechism. Well, when I began to search for the shorter presentation, I found all these pages. Now, I'm not going to tell you that these are small in small print, and here are 12 pages of information with 107 questions and conclusions. All I'm doing for you is to let you see that I had no desire to get into the longer presentation. Now, the reason I'm doing this is I want you to see at least the first 6 points, because it relates to what I'm presenting here today in relationship to Jesus Christ being superior, in relationship to all of these other demons that are presented in our verse today. The first statement was, and question, what is the chief end of man? What's the purpose of mankind? And the answer came back, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy God forever. Okay, we can go along real well with that. What is the chief end of man? What's our purpose for being here? The chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Now, when I read that, I said, that's okay. But the question that I have is, how do we glorify God on this earth? So I read question number 2. What rule hath God given to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy Him? So I was interested in knowing what that was. It says, how do we glorify God? The Word of God, which is contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testament, is the only rule to direct us how we may glorify God and enjoy Him. Now, still analyzing, but I still had some questions in my mind in relationship to that. Question number 2, what do the Scriptures principally teach? The Scriptures principally teach what man is to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of man. Question number 4, what is God? God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, unchangeable, and in His being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. Question number 5, I'm only going to give you 6 of these. Well, I take it back. I may go down to 8. Are there more gods than one? Answer, there is but only one, the living and true God. Question number 6. How many persons are there in the Godhead? There are 3 persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And these 3 are one God, the same in substance, equal in power and glory. Are you all still listening? Are you able to see what we're reading here today? Then number 7, what are the decrees of God? The decrees of God are His eternal purpose, according to the counsel of His will, whereby for His own glory He hath foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. Number 8, and the last one. How doth God execute His decrees? And the answer, God executeth His decrees in the works of creation and providence. I'm going to take my little paper clip and I'm going to put it on these 12 pages. And I want you to hear me as I emphasize the fact of the word catechism. The word catechism is frightening to some people and it's very acknowledged and understood by others. I was interested in sharing with you the word catechism. It's a noun, can be defined in this fashion: a summary of the principles of Christian religion in the form of questions and answers used for the instruction of Christians. Now, that's very confusing, isn't it? But let's look at the synonyms. Synonyms for catechism: doctrine, teaching, ideology, dogma, beliefs, principles, and so forth. A series of fixed questions, answers, or precepts used for instruction in other situations. Now, what I want to do is to tell you that when I look at this, I'm aware of the fact that I need to do a little explaining. What I said a few moments ago, why are we here? What's the purpose for us being here? And I even asked the question, are we somehow crazy talking about this, asking questions in this manner? Now, what we have to do is to realize that the Word of God is saying that there's a reason and a purpose for our being here. So I want to go now to the reason for us being here. The reason that we're here is because God has a plan and a purpose for us being on this earth. When we look at our verse of Scripture, we see that Jesus Christ is superior over and above all super demons, commissioned demons. Notice also gifted demons, ruling demons, and all rank and file demons that is named not only in this church age, but in the dispensation about to come. If you'll hold this for a few moments and look at it, you will discover. For instance, on the back of your bulletin today, you'll see a translation. And it's interesting to me, see this translation says, above all, Jesus Christ, above all, above every force, above every strength, above every power, above every dominion, and every name that will be named not only in this age, but also in the future. Now, what I want you to see is that when you look at Ephesians 1:21, you will see various categories of these demons. There's a super demon. There's a Greek word. We'll come back to all of this in a little bit. The word commissioned demon, there's another Greek word. Another word for gifted demon, dunamis. Another word for ruling demons. And then all rank and file demons. So we have a category, and we're going to be looking at these individually. When you go to the 6th chapter of the book of Ephesians, you will see that the Spirit of God uses the Apostle Paul to say, our conflict is not against blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world rulers of darkness, against spiritual hosts of evil in the heavenlies. Now, I'm not taking time today at this point of time to point out all of these words in detail, but I want you to see the difference that is presented to us in Ephesians 1:21 and Ephesians 6:12. The Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God, is saying to us, and we need to realize this, that we're living today in the midst of a great conflict. And this we call the invisible conflict. And he says, our conflict is not against blood, hema, and flesh, sarke, but against, and then we have a list. It's important for me to point out the fact that in the Greek language you have some interesting words indeed. For instance, you have the word pros, P-R-O-S. And then you look and you'll see that that same word is used again, pros. And you look on down and you see again that that word is used, pros. And so all the way down, and then we see again the word pros. The word pros actually means against or face to face, running up against it. Your conflict in mind today, we must be able to see this, and we'll see it in great detail in coming days. Our conflict is not against flesh and blood, but face-to-face against rulers, face-to-face against authorities, face-to-face against the world rulers of darkness, face-to-face against spiritual hosts of evil in the heavenlies. Now, please understand that I've given you Ephesians 1:21, and I've given you Ephesians 6:12. First of all, we must understand that the first being and continuing to be on a daily basis for us with which to confront is Satan. Now, what I need to do is to go back and see my first page here. I want you to see that I have them all lined out, and I have to be sure that I have them in order. The first thing that I want you to see is that we have to understand that our problem is with Satan. The first being and continuing to be problem is Satan. Number one, the way that God is going to win this victory is to create something lower than angels, weaker than angels, to bring about the solution. I don't want to go so rapidly that you miss what I'm trying to get over. You and I are faced with the fact that we have, for instance, being born again, we're trichotomous, body, soul, and spirit, but we still have a sinful nature. We have the old sinful nature. So the way that God is going to win is to create something lower than angels, that's us, weaker than angels, that's us, to bring about the solution. The solution is mankind. I put down the word wow here because I want you to be able to see far more than 6,000 years Satan has been disturbed, shaking his head about mankind, and I have concluded that it tears him up to see folk saved. It tears him up to see people advancing. It tears him up to see people traveling the highway of God's matchless grace. If you're following along carefully now, you're realizing that I'm presenting to you the thinking in relationship to the fact that you and I are in a battle which we call the battle of the ages, the angelic conflict, an intensified conflict. We're living on a daily basis in relationship to the fact that we can either be under the control of our old sinful nature, or we can be under the control of the Word of God, cleansing of sin, the filling of the Spirit, and the Word of God. So the point is, the way that God is going to win this battle is to create something lower than angels, weaker than angels, to bring about the solution. Now, in our study now, we have the biblical concept of angels. Angels do exist. as revealed in Psalm 8:4, 8:5, Hebrews 2, 6, and 7, 2 Peter 2, 11. They are created beings. All these scriptures are very important for us to put down. I repeat, Psalm 8, 4 and 5, Hebrews 2, 6 and 7, 2 Peter 2, 11, and Psalm 148, 2 through 5. So I put in the middle of my page today for you to be able to see that we have the word angels. To start with, we must see one of God's creatures, an exalted angelic being, in his name, Lucifer. Where do we find information about Lucifer? We find that information in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 17. Please follow me carefully now. Satan, demonism, Lucifer. Isaiah 14, 12 through 17. Before the beginning of the human history, Satan and his angels instigated a conflict in the spiritual realm that continues to this very present moment. I pause to let you think about what I'm saying. Before the beginning of human history, Satan and his angels instigated a conflict in the spiritual realm that continues to this very present moment. The drama of this spiritual warfare storms across the pages of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. I repeat, the drama of this spiritual warfare storms across the pages of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Mankind was created to resolve this ancient conflict, which we call the Battle of the Ages, the angelic conflict, an intensified conflict. But Satan and the unseen demons, hordes he commands, will not suffer defeat without an intense struggle. We as believers, then, are in that struggle. At this very moment, you and I must realize that we are involved in that struggle. And the Ephesians 6:12 passage says, it's not flesh and blood, and it goes on to describe the battle in which we find ourselves. We as believers are in this struggle today. One tactic Satan employs is the varied aspects and facets of what we call demon activity. Demonism has pervaded and plagued man since the fall of Adam. Demonism blinds unbelievers to the gospel. Let me see if you are getting this. Demonism blinds unbelievers to the gospel, distracts believers from the spiritual life, and threatens nations with divine judgment. These are very powerful statements, should not be passed on quickly. Those who are ignorant are confused about Satan's subtle strategies becomes easy prey. I'm trying to go slowly because I want you to see that I'm trying to lay a beginning foundation for us to find ourselves as we exegete Ephesians 1:21. Those who are ignorant or confused about this subtle satanic strategy becomes easy prey. Critical questions continually arise. How do people become enmeshed in demonism? What is demon influence? Who can be demon possessed? Who can be demon influenced? How can the believer protect himself, herself, from demonism? What is demon influence? Are you listening? What is demon influence? Who can be demon possessed? Who can be demon influenced? How can the believer protect himself from demonism? Only the Bible can resolve these questions and eliminate the confusion. Individuals under the influence of demons are pawns in the diabolical cause of Satan. Please, please don't miss this. I have to tell you that there are so many things out in the future for me to present, but I have to lay a foundation first. As I began some weeks ago to make preparation for this study, I began to see how much information needed to be presented. And the question came to my mind, how will we present this? What steps will we take for our people, our congregation, whom I love so dearly, to get a concept, an overall concept of what the whole situation is about? And that's the reason why I've started at this point. What is demon influence? Who can be demon possessed? Who can be demon influenced? How can the believer protect himself from demonism? Only the Bible can resolve these questions and eliminate the confusion. Individuals under the influence of demons are pawns in the diabolical cause of Satan. Disaster is their ultimate fate. My heart seems to sink as I give these words, because I wonder if the words are being presented in such a fashion that you can say, I am seeing what the preacher is saying. Disaster is the ultimate fate. The Bible emphatically warns believers against courting or consorting with any form of demonism. Notice, please, I repeat, the Bible emphatically warns all of us as born-again believers against courting or consorting with any form of demonism. We will study the fact that demons have great power, and we'll look at that in the second session today. However, it's important for me to present this verse of Scripture in what I call an exegetical fashion. Stay with me, please. Ephesians 1:21, exegetically. First in this sentence, we have what is known as an adverbial preposition. The word is, and you can look at it in the Greek and English, you can see it. The word is huperano. Huperano. If you're following along in the Greek text, you're following along in the English, you're seeing that the first words are far above. Far above. It is an adverbial preposition. The word is huper, over and above, ano. So it's above, and then the word place. This adverbial preposition is to be translated, as I see, have it on the screen for you, far above all. All is the ablative, P-A-S-E-S, of, far above all. Notice, if you will, please, that I've tried to put this down so we can see it. This ablative case here is the word of separation. Why do I get into this? Because it emphasizes here separation. It's showing comparison. On the one hand, on the other hand, comparison. Are you with me? Do you see it? Do you see it? On the one hand, on the other hand. Oh, do you see it? The point that I'm driving at is, on the one hand, Jesus is superior. On the other hand, we have a list now of the different kinds of powers called demon power. The ablative is a word of separation, showing comparison and separation. Jesus Christ is above all, over all. Jesus Christ is superior. Jesus Christ is separated from all fallen angels, presented so magnificently in Hebrews chapter 1, 13 verses 1 through 13. I just wish I knew if I could get into your brain for just a few moments and see what is happening in your brain. What's happening in your thinking right now? I don't want to begin to try to imagine, because that would throw me off. Maybe, I don't know. But I'm not getting into your brain. I'm just trying to let you see that I want you to start thinking, if you haven't already been thinking with me, about this. Jesus Christ is presented as superior. Jesus Christ is being presented here with words that describe what's on the one hand and what's on the other hand. Jesus Christ is letting you and me know that we as believers at this particular point of time in history have the responsibility of opening our minds and hearts and being able to see on the one hand who's in charge, who's superior. But on the other hand, seeing what can happen to you and me on a day-by-day basis if we're under the control as an unsaved person of demonism or influence as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believers are not possessed. Demons are influencing satanic influences for believers. I'll explain that more in detail later. In this verse now, we have a presentation of a category of demons. We will name them as the Scripture names them. Notice, if you will, please, trying to make it very easy to understand. I've taken these divisions and I've typed them out for you to see. Number one, a super demon. Number two, a commissioned demon. Number three, a gifted demon. Number four, a ruling demon. And number five, an ordinary demon, the rank and file demon. Preacher, would you let me see some more? Oh, I'm so glad you asked me. I waited all this time for you to ask me to tell you more. These categories, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, super demon, commissioned demon, gifted demon, ruling demon, ordinary, rank and file demon. Preacher, please, thank you. The Greek words describing these demons are now being presented to you. The first one is arche. The second one is exousia. The third one is dunamis. The next one is kuriates. The next one is onoma. All right, take a look at those. If you're looking at it in the Greek text, you're seeing it in the verse. We have presented to you these words in this verse several times now. Now, let's describe these names. The first one is a word which refers to the principalities of super demons. The word principality, A-R-C-H-E, means ruler. It means authority. It means dominion. It means the highest ruling officer. However, above those ruling officers, we see that this verse says Jesus Christ is superior to all of these. Jesus Christ is above even the highest ruling leading demons. Demon. This reveals that not all demons are equal. The Lord Jesus Christ is superior to all super demons. We've already looked at Ephesians 6:12. I just read it now. For our struggle, our conflict, is not against flesh and blood, blood and flesh, but against rulers, world rulers, arche, against pros, face to face with authorities, there's that next word, exousia, against world rulers. This one is interesting because I've divided it for you to be able to see. It is the word kosmokratos. Cosmo is the word cosmos. We are familiar with the word cosmos. Notice, if you will, against world rulers of darkness, darkness of the world, against, there's that word again, face to face, spiritual hosts of evil. We'll get into that subject when we move on down the line, because we'll see that this is the word poneros, from which we get our English word pornography, in the heavenlies. Now, this conflict or struggle is not earthly. It's not earthy. It's a spiritual conflict. If we're thinking that this is an earthly conflict, we're going to be quite disturbed. The conflict of the ages, the power of these five categories of demons is greater than anything human. Notice my capital letters. I'm getting excited again. We as believers must learn that we are in a spiritual warfare and cannot be victorious depending upon the arms of flesh. Oh, I wish I could just stop here and just say that over and over and over again. Let's look at it quickly. Here again we see super demons, arche, commissioned demons, exousia, gifted demons, dunamis, ruling demons, kuriotes, ordinary demons, onoma. Please notice, demons are named, have a reputation, and are assigned. Notice, please, demons have a name, have a reputation, and are assigned. Satan's organizational structure is well planned. I wonder about your plan and my plan in relationship to our Christian life. We must understand that Satan's organizational structure is well planned. You and I live in this now age, the church age. But in the future, the scripture refers to the Gog and Magog revolt. And when you go to Ephesians 1:21, which is our verse for today, it says, Christ is superior above all, far above all super demons and officer demons and gifted demons and demons over people in authority and all rank and file demons who have a reputation, not only in this age, but also in that dispensation to come. Would you go back with me to our verse? Wow. We'll get into this more in detail in the next session, but let me look at it again. Jesus Christ, far above, over all, super demons, commissioned demons, gifted demons, ruling demons, and all rank and file demons, that is named not only in this church age where you and I now live, but in relationship to the dispensation in the future. This is work, folks. Do you realize it's work? It's work. But it has to be something that will be very pungent and powerful in your thinking. I would not be doing this if I didn't care. I would not be presenting this because I realize that there are other subjects that are actually more enjoyable. Do you realize that? But I also realize that I'm going to live and I'm going to die. And my responsibility is to God and to you to present the Word of God as it is. May we pray together, please. A brief moment in closing to say to you who are here and who are listening to my voice elsewhere, Jesus Christ has a plan for your life and mine. We can either understand it and accept it and utilize it, or we can miss it. And when we miss it, we miss the greatest blessings in life. And I would not want any one of us as believers to miss it. And I wouldn't want anyone hearing my voice who is unsaved to miss it. You don't have to miss it. Jesus Christ left heaven's glory and came to this earth and went to the cross and died for you. And you can trust Him right now and He'll save you. He's the only one who can do that. He's the one who said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one can come to God the Father except through me. That's Jesus speaking. So right where you are, right at this moment, if you've never accepted Him as your Savior, you could do it now. I encourage you to do it. Father, thank you for the challenge of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.